this.
I had some. I probably shouldn't say. I had some Diet Dew up there.
Oh man, that'd have been perfect.
Can't do that. I'll be sending you another jacket.
Well, hey, first off, you tell me when we're recording.
Well, we're not.
No, tell me when we are.
Okay.
I gotta.
Yeah, we're good. You good, Shane?
Yeah, good, good, good.
I mean, all right, y'all are the best. You had me a Diet Dr. Pepper, but the most important thing is, do we have an autographed koozie for David Carnell, okay? Because if his son goes back and doesn't have an autographed koozie from the SEC podcast, I've already DM'd him. We're good.
The only one I had was this ugly orange one, you know, and I was like, I'm not sending that one back.
Oh, really?
I'm not sending. No, we're going to send him something nice.
Yeah.
But I did make an agreement with him. I said, I've got to get some of that popcorn first.
Yeah.
You know, Luther brought the chips. I had chips, but nobody brought popcorn. So I thought we'd start a little barter system
here. Hey, tell me about this golf game. Like, are you trying to, why do you keep sending out pictures of golf carts?
Golf carts, yeah, just thoughts and prayers, you know.
Why?
Because I want, I don't know, it's accountability for me. And
I love it. Are you walking or are you riding?
Well, we're riding, but sometimes it's cart path only, you know.
Which is the worst golf ever. I would rather not play. When they go, hey, it's golf path only, I'm like, I'm out for the day. I ain't even playing. I'd rather not do that.
Absolutely, man. Well, you are the star of the show today, man. And I appreciate you taking the time to come back here. I know it's not easy to find that SEC podcast buried back here in the back, but I
need a little bit more respect for these guys.
Well, I mean, there is a rumor. I don't know if this is true or not, and I haven't fact-checked it, but they said that every time Shane has been on the Jumbotron, you've been undefeated. So I don't know if that's true or not.
How surprised were you when you saw him? I saw you walking into the game. You recognize him, give him a handshake. Oh, yeah.
I wasn't surprised because I follow him on Twitter. I knew he was making the trek. I was appreciative of it. So, yeah, it was awesome.
It was great. And if you've not been up there, I just don't feel like it gets enough respect. You have to. You have to be there.
Wait till you see this new $250 million North End Zone project when they get that completed. It's going to be extremely impressive. And the investment that the fan base has made and the administration has been awesome. And honestly, you know, if you build it, they will come. I got to give a lot of credit. We had not turned it around or had the success that we have. And the president and the board believed enough in us and in what we were doing to go ahead and put those things in motion. So very appreciative to them.
And seeing that, is, I guess for an outsider perspective, somebody that doesn't follow Mizzou, what are some other things that are in the works right now that they may not know now, but they will know soon enough about the steps that you've made, not just you, but everybody that's around you?
Well, I mean, I think honestly, like the indoor facility was huge. You don't, you know, that's a practice facility. But since that's been open, we've been on this run. We've redone the weight room. We redid the grass football fields. We put lights on the practice fields. You know, things that are taken for granted that shouldn't be taken for granted. Redid the turf. Now we've done a $250 million in the middle of a $250 million North End Zone expansion. You know, I think all of those things are significant. We redid the wellness center inside the athletic training part, because the most important thing on our football team is our players' bodies, and getting those guys healthy is extremely important. So, you know, there's been all kinds of investment in the things that matter, which, you know, winning comes down to doing little things really well. Yeah. Nutrition, strength and development, mental performance, all those things matter.
And it even goes a step further. Hell, you didn't mention the state. I mean, they changed laws to give you guys the most help you can possibly get, all legal. But how special is it? You mentioned the facilities, the stadium.
Yeah,
you're right. The fans are kicking ass for you.
We don't have the state law that Tennessee does, you know, now, which, again, is why we need to get some federal legislation so we're all operating on the same playing field. But, yeah, you know, again, the state has bought in from top to bottom. Was fortunate to have dinner with the governor the other night, and, you know, his conversation was, what's going on with the football team? Who's going to be our starting quarterback? You know, they're bought in.
But that's unique.
That's important.
Not every coach gets that. I mean, how blessed are you for that?
I'm very blessed. It's like I opened with, you know, how what a privilege, you know, to be challenged by the problems that you basically choose yourself to be involved in, you know. And that's why, for me, the tone of my conversation was, I didn't want to get up there and complain.
Yeah.
It's not about complaining. It's about presenting, hey, these are solutions and opportunities, but, man, this is an awesome blessing to get to do what we do.
Yeah, and I see a shift online, too. I mean, don't have the St. Louis football team anymore, so it's like, we got to find somebody. There's some Chief fans up there, of course, but – seems like there was just this massive shift to almost like SEC teams that have always not had professional teams around here.
No doubt.
Yeah, we see that vibe online. One of the most passionate fan bases out there is Mizzou, and that's why we love them so much. But one of the things I wanted to ask you is because, you know, how many 10-win seasons does Mizzou have before they start getting respect around here?
Don't matter. Let's just have another one. I don't care how many we have to have.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care about what happened in the past. We got to – for us, it's about consistency of performance. And this year is really important for us to have a consistent performance. We've got a great opportunity with the way the schedule sets up. We got a great opportunity with the players that we return. We got a great opportunity because we have such a great fan base who gives us a home field advantage. So we got to take advantage of the opportunity. I'm not going to worry about respect or lack of respect. That stuff doesn't matter.
Just get after it, man.
Let's just get another win.
Hey, I saw you over there with Cole Kublik. We had him on earlier. We love Cole. I don't think there's someone in this space that is not as knowledgeable as him on the game of football.
Yeah.
We asked him, who's the best assistant coach in the SEC without hesitation? He said Kirby Moore.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on someone like Cole saying that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Cole, I think, is very well-respected because of the way he played the game, and I think he studies and works really hard. I think it's what separates Coach Saban from the rest. I think Cole puts a lot of time and energy, and for him to recognize the amount of work and the schemes that Kirby has put together, and honestly, I mean, the past 2 years have been the most successful I've had as a head coach, and it coincides with having Kirby as our offensive coordinator, so we're very blessed to have him.
Yeah. Why did you take that step today, and thank you for doing it? For honoring Mike Leach right out the gate, because we've been saying that. We close every single show with Mike Leach. He gave us a shout-out one time. We love that guy, and they shouldn't even have this damn building if they're not going to put him in it.
You know, I opened my SEC media days last year asking for Mike Leach, and so I thought it was important. You know, I went out and made public statements about it, so I wanted to recognize their achievement or their willingness to amend that and make it happen, so it was awesome.
Well, I've always thought about, you know, Brady Cook, when I thought about Mizzou and what he brought to that locker room, what he brought to that team. I mean, you can't – it's not replacing a quarterback. You're replacing the captain, maybe in the heart and soul. What has been that transition? You brought three wonderful guys here today, but is that something you look for, or is it something that just stood out like a sore thumb, like I'm bringing these guys?
Well, there's a lot of things. Connor and Dalen have been with me a long time, and they were there when it ain't good. They chose to be there when it was tough, and they've stayed with it, and they've played a lot of games for us. And Zion Young's just got a great energy about him, and the team really rallies about him. So those were really the three easy decisions. I think for me with those guys, you know, Brady was a guy who set the standard and was disciplined to the standard. These guys are taking it a different approach, man, in the part that they have responsibility for the standard, and there's a difference. When you're responsible for the standard, you know, when you see trash on the ground, you go pick it up. You know, you just don't do up-downs because there's trash. You make sure that the locker room stays clean. You're not just in, hey, we got to clean the locker room. Discipline is, hey, I'm going to throw my trash away. Responsibility is when you see trash on the floor, you go grab it and throw it away yourself. And I think there's just a different step that's going on right now with this group. I think they're accepting responsibility for the standard. And they're applying it every day to themselves instead of having to be told or just upholding themselves with that discipline. And I think that's a potential to have a really good team.
I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, the first time you came on, it was nothing but Arkansas fans chirping at you. They're pretty silent, I think, because of the record. Last year was Oklahoma fans. This ain't even a rivalry. Now we got Oklahoma people coming over here and say, that's the game we want the most now. Now it's Kansas. I'm just wondering who's going to be next year.
I don't know. The list of haters is long and distinguished.
last question.
That's what you got to have. Hey, we got all the time in the world, boys. That plane's going to wait.
Yeah.
This ain't Southwest.
All right.
That plane's going to wait.
Well, I want to ask you about this Kansas matchup.
Yeah.
Because you know, I've even booked a hotel because I may be heading that way. But
come on with it.
I'm getting books sent to me.
Yeah.
They're saying, Shane, you don't get it. You don't appreciate how deep and ugly this rivalry is. And I was sitting in the stadium watching an Oklahoma game, listening to them sing a song about Kansas.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners just a little bit about what you're trying to do to let these kids know in that locker room how important this rivalry is.
So we actually had a historian come in and talk about it. He's our vice provost of the university, Dr. Spain, came and talked about the history of this Kansas rivalry. And we've been doing something every month and every Friday to reinforce the importance of this game and why it's important to the fan base and why it needs to be important to our team. We had Andy Hill, a former player and coach, come and talk about that game and the importance of it. But when you understand that So Columbia, when it was formed, had to form a militia outside after the Civil War, and that militia was called the Tigers to protect themselves from insurgents coming and raiding different communities. And that's the origin of our football team's name. That's pretty significant, guys. Okay, and you know, there's some things that the state of Missouri did over in Kansas that aren't exactly nice either. Okay, so both sides, but it's deep,
yeah,
and it's distinguished, and it's ugly, and there's some there people were dead, they're yeah. dead
yes.
because of the Missouri Kansas border wars,
absolutely.
And so it's long and dark, and there's some in football. 1960 was the best football team in Missouri history, and they have a chance to go undefeated. They play Kansas. Kansas knowingly plays an ineligible player who, by the way, was the best player on their team and pretty much single-handedly won the game, and then the next week declares him ineligible, you know, which keeps Missouri from playing for the national championship. So, you know, I think there's a lot of history there that says, woof, that's kind of tough, you know. And then there's this idiot football coach that holds up a sign in the student section that says 5-level violations, which if I'd have known the NCAA wasn't going to do anything about it, I might not have done that, you know. But, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, so. How many calls from – I mean, I see him over here. Did you get any text from Sankey after that one?
Not that one. I've received a few phone calls. I told him today, hey, man, I'm going to go on here and say some things, and he gave me that look like, no. But you know what? At the end of the day, I got an opinion, and I'm going to share it. And you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. If we think letting a human committee decide the 11 best teams in college football is the right approach, it blows my mind. We don't love it in basketball, and we complained about it last year. Why would we add more to that? Like, let's decide it on the field. Let's have playing games. Let's expand it. You know, I said this on the stage. The two most important people in college athletics are the players and the fans. It's not the commissioners. It's not the coaches. It's not the conference alignments. And it's not the media. It's the players and the fans. And what's best for them? What's best for them is more access to games and opportunities. That's best for the players, and it's best for the fans to keep them engaged. And so how do we create more access? If we're going to expand the playoff from 12 to 14 or 16, that is inconsequential. Mm-hmm. All right? But you expand it, and now you give 30 teams opportunities or 28 or 26, that's consequential.
Yeah.
That's monumental. That's having a mindset that's bigger than just right now. And so might as well speak on it. Nothing may change, or something may change.
Well, that's what I love is if you don't say it, it'll never change. You know, if
exactly
we just
right.
say, okay, well, 14 is all we're getting, 15 is all we're getting.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's teams in the SEC that would love to have, we'll just have the, you know, top four in this league go. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the same top four, you know, over the course of the last 10 years, it's the same top four consistently, yeah. right? But now if you say, hey, you got to be in the top eight, chance to play for it. Well, now that creates opportunity for everybody in this league to compete, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm looking for.
And that was the argument, was you got more playoff games, I felt like. When you get more playoff games, they're not going to mean as much during the week. I'm like, when did that change? Yeah. I felt like it was more than ever. We're going into November not knowing who the hell is going to be making this thing.
And here's the other thing that I thought was very exciting. You know, we played four playoff games off campus, right, or on campus, which was awesome. And you know why else it was awesome? Because it wasn't during the NFL playoffs.
Yeah,
we weren't competing with airtime for the NFL. Mm-hmm. We had our own window that was about college football. And, you know, you look at the NCAA basketball tournament, it's got its own window. It creates its own hype. You look at Omaha. You look at softball in Oklahoma City. They got their own window, own hype. Why does college football not have it? We play on a Monday night?
Yeah.
Because of the NFL playoffs? Man, bump that calendar up. Let's do this whole thing right. Let's make college football what it's supposed to be, man. So, all right, they're waving me off. Yeah. But, hey, man, I appreciate y'all. I appreciate the energy and passion that y'all have created.
Thank you.
Through you know, X and the attention that y'all put into it and energy y'all put into it. Y'all are an important piece and appreciate
one
y'all.
One coach 4 years ago was the only one to ever give us an opportunity. It was you, and I'll always be indebted to that. I appreciate
that. Well, now y'all are big time.
Thanks for making me today's fun.
Glad we could work you in, Drink.
Yeah, y'all tried to box me out. You didn't even ask for me. I was like, dadgum.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.